Not surprisingly, the smokers were on edge, fidgety, not sure what to expect. Barely noticing the rain and overcast skies, they clumped together outside the medical building in London, England, that houses the Center for Neuroimaging Sciences. Some were self-described social smokers, a cigarette in the morning, a second snuck in during lunch hour, maybe half a dozen more if they went out carousing with their friends at night. Others confessed to being long-time two-pack-a-day addicts. All of them pledged their allegiance to a single brand, whether it was Marlboro's or Camel's. Under the rules of the study, they knew they wouldn't be allowed to smoke for the next 4 hours, so they were busy stockpiling as much tar and nicotine inside their systems as they could. In between drags, they swapped lighters, matches, smoke rings, apprehensions. "Will this hurt? George Orwell would love this. Do you think the machine will be able to read my mind?" Inside the building, the setting was, as befits a medical laboratory, antiseptic, no nonsense, and soothingly soulless, all cool white corridors and flannel gray doors. As the study got underway, I took a perch behind a wide glass window inside a cockpit-like control booth among a cluster of desks, digital equipment, three enormous computers, and a bunch of white-smocked researchers. I was looking over a room dominated by an fMRI, functional magnetic resonance imaging, scanner, an enormous $4 million machine that looks like a giant sculpted donut, albeit one with a very long, very hard tongue. As the most advanced brain scanning technique available today, fMRI measures the magnetic properties of hemoglobin, the components in red blood cells that carry oxygen around the body. In other words, fMRI measures the amount of oxygenated blood throughout the brain and can pinpoint an area as small as 1 millimeter, that's 0.03937 of an inch. You see, when a brain is operating on a specific task, it demands more fuel, mainly oxygen and glucose. So the harder a region of the brain is working, the greater its fuel consumption and the greater the flow of oxygenated blood will be to that site. So during fMRI, when a portion of the brain is in use, that region will light up like a red-hot flare. By tracking this activation, neuroscientists can determine what specific areas in the brain are working at any given time. Neuroscientists traditionally use this 32-ton SUV-sized instrument to diagnose tumors, strokes, joint injuries, and other medical conditions that frustrate the abilities of X-rays and CT scans. Neuropsychiatrists have found fMRI useful in shedding light on certain hard-to-treat psychiatric conditions, including psychosis, sociopathy, and bipolar illness. But those smokers puffing and chatting and pacing in the waiting room weren't ill or in any kind of distress. Along with a similar sample of smokers in the United States, there were carefully chosen participants in a groundbreaking neuromarketing study who were helping me get to the bottom, or the brain, of a mystery that had been confounding health professionals, cigarette companies, and smokers and non-smokers alike for decades. For a long time, I'd noticed how the prominently placed health warnings on cigarette boxes seemed to have bizarrely little, if any, effect on smokers. Smoking causes fatal lung cancer. Smoking causes emphysema. Smoking while pregnant causes birth defects. Fairly straightforward stuff, hard to argue with. And those are just the soft-pedaled American warnings. European cigarette makers place their warnings in coal black magic marker thick frames, making them even harder to miss. In Portugal, dwarfing the dromedary on camel packs are words even a kid could understand. Fumar mata. Smoking kills. But nothing comes even close to the cigarette warnings from Canada, Thailand, Australia, Brazil, and soon, the UK. Their gorily, forensically true to life, showing full-color images of lung tumors, gangrenous feet and toes, and the open sores and disintegrating teeth that accompany mouth and throat cancers. You'd think these graphic images would stop most smokers in their tracks. So why? In 2006, despite worldwide tobacco advertising bans, outspoken and frequent health warnings from the medical community, and massive government investment in anti-smoking campaigns, did global consumers continue to smoke a whopping 5,763 billion cigarettes? A figure which doesn't include duty-free cigarettes or the huge international black market trade.